When but a child, I felt God's Spirit leading me on to holy rest. But I felt the presence of another with me. Satan was trying to hide the lamb. He failed to stop the birth of a baby he would love to. The death of I am. He can't hold back the coming of my King. He cannot keep me from storm. Satan is trying to tell me it's over. Why should I go on? But the darker the storm, the more I see Jesus, and the stronger my love grows for the sight of home. He failed to stop the birth of a baby. He would love to have stopped the day.
You know, the devils can do a lot of things. He can put a lot of things in our way, amen. But one thing he can't do, he can't keep us from loving the Lamb. Aren't you glad this morning we have that blessed assurance? Aren't you glad we have a story to tell? I love to tell the story, amen. It's good to see you at Lupton Drive this morning. Stand with us. Let's sing that good old song, Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Sing that verse with me.
Blessed Assurance.
This is my song, raising my Savior.
perfect submission, perfect in life. Visions of rapture now burst from my sight. Angels descending, heard from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of
sing that chorus.
This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story.
All is at rest on that last.
Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior and happy and blessed. Watching and praising, keeping above. Filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior.
Practice will be at 4:45 today, so maybe I'll get it straightened out.
They just helping me out later because I always mess up, so we're all in the same boat. That's great. Appreciate our singing and our choir, Brother Bill, and all the singing. Appreciate Grace singing for us. I asked them which Grace was singing, new or old. They didn't say. They just said Grace. So we, amen. It's good to have you here. It's good to have a good time in the Lord's house, isn't it? Appreciate you being here. If you're visiting, we're glad to have you. Now let's just have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to feel welcome in our service. Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be here. We're just thankful, Lord, that you really live within our heart. And you said where the two or three are gathered together, you'd be in the midst. And, Lord, we want you to know you're welcome here. Lord, in Laodicea, you were outside the door, knocking on the door. And God, we want you to always feel welcome at Lupton Drive. Thank for our visitors. Pray bless them. But I pray you bless our people that are faithful. Appreciate those in Sunday school this morning, our teachers who labor in the word to teach, that you'd bless them for their efforts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We shall see Jesus while we sing that. praising him.
Yeah.
need it. Turn to 113. Let's sing Glory to His Name. Words will be on the screen. Glory to His Name. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood of Christ. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name, there to my heart was the blood. Shake hands. Tell everybody you're glad to see them in church this morning. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Sing that last with me. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory. that again. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood of Christ. Amen.
Glory to his name.
That's beautiful. Amen.
Sounds good. Brother David, you ask a blessing on offering.
Father, we love you. We thank you, God, again for this time to come and worship you. And God, we thank you for your presence this morning. I pray that you bless our pastor. God, give him that anointing he needs, God, and the liberty to preach what you've given him. Lord, I pray that you bless the offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I couldn't decide what I wanted to sing, so I was going through my music because I always usually end up singing the same songs over and over again. And I ran across this old song that me and my mama used to do. So it's about the Lord telling us to fear not, my child. And we all are riddled with fear sometimes, and sometimes our fear likes to clobber our faith, and I'm just so thankful that we have a God that's ever present. And no matter what we're going through, he's telling us, fear not, my child, I'm with you. In myself, I feel the was afraid to try once more. That fire in my soul had fled. That's when Jesus came and said, my spirit gives the strength you to raise you up and to succeed, and for vision in the night, to you I give these words of life. Fear not. I see. Fear not, my child. I'm with you.
belongs to me. He said, my child, don't look behind, for discouragement is all you'll find. Don't watch the waves that roll the sea, but just focus your eyes on me. And I will make you strong, and then your shattered courage I will mend. And if you fall and should get hurt, remember these eternal words. Fear not, my child, I'm with you always. I feel every pain and every tear I see.
That's one third new grace. Glad, appreciate that song. One thing I want to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. One thing I want to note before we get started in the bulletin. Miss Kaylee Potter, would you stand up? Don't want to. That's Miss Kaylee. She's in the bulletin as missionary of the week. She'll be gone for nearly 2 months. And let's pray for her. She's homegrown, so most of y'all know who she is. But some of you new folks may not. And that's who you'd be praying for. And I just want to, you better pray for our parents and grandparents. They're the ones that's got a problem, but we appreciate her giving her time. And so let's remember her as she goes. Amen. Let's stand together. 1 Timothy chapter 4, first three verses. 1 Timothy 4, first three verses. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with blessing or with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Let's stop reading there. Heavenly Father, we pray you'd bless this morning. Have your way. We're thankful for the message you've provided, and we pray you'd help us to deliver it according to the Holy Spirit and your will. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to preach this morning about preparing for the big liar. Preparing for the big liar, which is Antichrist. Amen. Brother Bell come by this morning at the office for church and told a joke. So I start off with one. It's not a joke. It's a true story. He told the wrong joke to the wrong person. Phyllis and I was in there, and he talked about this wife who burned the bread. And he didn't know that she always burns the bread. She's a really good cook, but when it comes to bread, you might as well get another pack out because he's going to burn it. So anyway, he caught on some toes. There's this bus kid. Bus captain told the bus kids on the bus to, if you see any in the revival, if you see anybody here today that hadn't been here before, shake their hand and welcome them. And this bus kid, new one, came up to the evangelist and said, shook his hand, said, our bus captain said, if we saw somebody that hadn't been here before to shake their hand, and I want to shake your hand and welcome you. And the pastor looked at that kid and said, well, you've never been here before. He said, yes, I have. He said, no, you haven't. He said, why, you big fat liar, I have. So the kids will put you in, that happened. Kids will put you in their place. So the pastor was a big fat liar. And there's a big fat liar coming. And it's called the Antichrist. We're studying through Revelation on Wednesday, on Sunday night, and we'll be in chapter 9 tonight, 8. 9, 8. 8, maybe 9, but definitely 8. It's the one after we did last week. But anyway, we've been studying through that, and before that, to prep for that, we talked about Zechariah, and we talked about Daniel and the coming of the Antichrist. And one of these days, he's going to come. He's going to rule the world during the tribulation, especially the last half. It's 7 years long, and he'll be ruling during the last half of the world. But he is empowered, and he's possessed by the biggest liar that's ever been, and that's Satan. John chapter number 8, Jesus said about Satan in verse number 44, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He is the originator of lies. He's a big liar, the biggest liar it's ever been. And I'll not read it, but Revelation 12, 7, when he's cast out of heaven, it says he has deceived the whole world. He deceives the whole world. You remember he deceived Eve. I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul was concerned that the Corinthians would be deceived as through the subtlety of Satan, the way that Eve was deceived. Eve was deceived. Adam chose to sin to be with her, but Eve was deceived. He's a big deceiver. He's a big liar. He promises a lot of things, but all he brings is misery. All he brings is misery. So he's the biggest liar that ever has been, and the Antichrist will come into power by lying. I won't read the verses, but in Daniel chapter 8, in chapter 9 and 11, chapter 8 and 11 talks about he's actually probably talking about Antiochus Epiphanes, who was out of the Greek kingdom, but he is a forerunner of the Antichrist. And he came into power by peace in chapter 8. It talks about he made his craft a policy to prosper by peace, talking peace. And in chapter 11 said he obtained the kingdom by flatteries. That's what the Antichrist is going to do. Amen. He's going to be a liar. The Antichrist is going to gain his, you know, we saw this in Revelation chapter 6, verse 1, the white horse that rides out under the first seal. He conquered, but he has no bow and arrows. He has a bow, but no arrows. He's a liar, and he'll gain it through lying, and he'll speak peace, but, you know, won't be long till war will break out, and his peace won't last long, but he's lying. He lies to Israel. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, he'll make a seven-year covenant. It said he'll make a covenant with the Jews for 1 week, which is 7 years, and halfway through that, he'll break his covenant, and he'll stop them. He'll allow them to start worship on the Temple Mount again and rebuild the temple, and then halfway through he'll put a stop to it because he intends to be worshiped himself, and he'll put himself in the temple to be worshiped. He's just a liar. That's all he is. He's energized by Satan. He's controlled by Satan, and he'll conquer the world through lies. 2 Thessalonians talks about him in verse number chapter 2, verse 9. It talks about the coming of the Antichrist, and in verse 9 it says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Amen. He's even going to do miracles. I mean, he's going to be a liar, and he's going to deceive the world through lies. And he'll conquer the world through lies, and the world's going to believe his lies. The world's going to believe it. Chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, verse number 11, it says that he'll have lying wonders in verse 11. And for this cause shall God send strong delusion that they should believe a lie. In verse 12, he says that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. Amen. He's a big liar, and the people's going to believe him. And when you reject the truth, and that's what we're going to see in these scriptures, then you're opened up for a lie. Right. And they're opened up for a lie. So they'll worship him. They'll believe the lie, and they'll worship in the tribulation. They will worship devils. They'll worship the Antichrist and they'll worship Satan himself. In Revelation chapter 9, and we'll see, this could be tonight, chapter 8, if we get far enough, we might go in chapter number 9, but in Revelation chapter 9, under the sixth trumpet, after it is finished, and these horrible, we're going to see when we reach chapter 9 that demons are going to be turned loose on this earth, and Satan will be confined to this earth, and with all the plagues and the bad things that are going on, as bad as it gets, the Bible said in chapter 9, verse 20, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of their works of their hands, that they should worship that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. After all the judgment that's fallen on them and as bad as it gets, they still worship devils, which is idolatry. I think it's 1 Corinthians 10 or 2 Corinthians 10. If you worship an idol, you're worshiping a devil. And in the tribulation, they're going to be worshiping devils. In chapter 13, verse 4, speaking of the Antichrist and Satan, it says, it speaks earlier that this Antichrist will be empowered by Satan or by the dragon, which is Satan. In verse 4, it says, and they worship the dragon, which gave power to the beast. The dragon is Satan. They'll worship the dragon, which gave power to the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war? So they'll worship Satan, they'll worship the Antichrist. Down in verse number 10, 8, it says, and all that dwell on the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life, or in the book of the life of the Lamb. The world will worship devils, Satan, and the Antichrist during the tribulation period. Now here's the thing, how will man get to the point that they'll just believe blatant lies and worship Satan? I tell you, when you look at our political system in America, you can understand. Amen. Man, people are willing to listen to a lie and follow a lie. Yeah. And so how will they get to that point? Well, in the scriptures that we read, it said in verse 1, the Spirit speaketh expressly. The Spirit is given a specific warning about the groundwork during our time. It says the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter times. In our day, I believe we're in the latter times. I don't know when the rapture is going to take place. Nobody does. Now, the second coming will take place 7 years after the rapture. But we don't know when the rapture is going to take place, but surely we're close. It's been over 2,000 years since Christ died, and all the things that the Scripture talks about in the latter days are coming to pass. But it said the Spirit speaks expressly. The Spirit is given specific warnings about things that will lay groundwork for the world to be deceived and believe the Antichrist. And I want to give you those things today. First of all, he says some in the latter times, some will depart from the faith. They'll depart from the faith. They'll depart from truth. They'll depart from truth. Now, depart means deliberate. It's a deliberate, willful abandoning of the truth. Now, what is truth? Pilate asked that question. Of course, truth is the Bible. Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. And so the Bible's teachings are true. And Paul warned Timothy in these scriptures, he talks about false doctrines, but he warned in verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading and to exhortation and to doctrine. Verse 16, take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine and continue in them. He warned Timothy, what the doctrines are things that we believe about Christ. What the Bible teaches. We ought to believe the Bible and stay true to it. You know, the Bible talks about the virgin birth of Christ. It talks about the death of Christ on the cross and his resurrection, his second coming. The things we believe about Christ. Amen. Paul warned him to stay true to those things. So the faith is true doctrines. And it says here, some will depart from the faith. They'll purposely abandon the Word of God. And we've seen this happening in our day and time. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in preparation for the Antichrist, it says in verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. He's talking about the rapture and the end times. That day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. He said before the son of perdition or the man of sin, who's the Antichrist, before he steps forward, there's going to be a falling away. That word means apostasy. That means a falling away from the truth. So in the latter days, before the Antichrist will step forward, people will leave the Bible, the truths of the Bible, and they'll start, we'll talk about it in a minute, believing lies. 2 Timothy chapter 4, first four verses. They'll abandon the truth, the faith, and they'll want to believe fables. Amen. It says in verse 1 of chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. Teach them the doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. He said there'll come a time when people will not want to hear the truth. Amen. They'll get teachers to tell them what they want to hear, and they'd rather believe a fable, and a fable means a myth or a tale or a fiction. They'd rather have fiction than they had truth. Amen. I think we've arrived to that day. People want to live like they want to live. They don't want to be obligated to the church anymore. They don't want to live a clean life, as the Bible says, and they'd rather somebody just lie to them. Yeah. Now, so here in the first thing he says is people will depart from the truth. Well, when you leave the truth, you open yourself up for lies. Amen. Now, what he says then next, they will start listening to deceivers or liars. Right. Verse 1, the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in latter times some shall depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits. Amen. To seducing spirits. Of course, to give heed means to hold the mind towards or pay attention. They've left the truth, now they're paying attention to something else. And it's seducing spirits. Now, spirits here, he's talking about demons. Demons, because a seducing spirit, seducing means an imposter or a deceiver. A deceiver, one that lures men away from the truth. When you reject the truth, you've opened yourself up for the demons to start luring you to lies. Right. And that's what he said. They'll give heed to seducing spirits. Start listening to them. Instead of listening to the Holy Spirit, Right. They'll listen to seducing spirits. John chapter 16, he said in verse 13, he said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth. When he talks about the Holy Spirit in John 14 through 16, he calls him the Spirit of truth. That he's going to send, when he goes away, I'll send a comforter, the Spirit of truth. And howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, he'll guide you into all truth, and he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he'll show you the things to come. He went on to say, and he'll glorify me. He said the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth, and he'll speak about me. These seducing spirits will not tell you the truth about Christ. But anyway, we find that they'll listen to lying demons instead of the Holy Spirit. And the demons will use false teachers. The demons will use false teachers. Back in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he said in verse 2, they'll speak lies and hypocrisy. Speak lies and hypocrisy. A hypocrite means a play actor. Now, somebody who is an actor on TV, he's a hypocrite. That's what he is. Right. This is who he is, and this is who he's playing to be, and that's his job, to play somebody else's role. Amen. Well, there's going to be some people that's going to look like, they're going to talk like they're the truth, but they're hypocrites. Amen. They're hypocrites. They're play actors. They're going to speak lies. So he says here that they'll speak lies in hypocrisy. Right. Now I want to look in 2 Peter chapter 2. He warns about these false teachers in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness they shall be, with feigned words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Peter warned about false teachers. In the last days there are going to be false teachers. And he mentions about five things in those verses about them. First of all, he said they'll bring in damnable heresies. Now, false teacher, he's teaching lies. Amen. He's not teaching truth. And he'll bring in damnable heresies. He'll teach you things that'll take you to hell. And then he says, even denying the Lord that bought them. He'll deny Christ, he'll deny the blood. Yeah. Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 19, he said, we're not redeemed with corruptible things, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's his blood that has redeemed us. And these false teachers will deny the Lord that bought them. And then it said that end of verse 2, he said, in whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. They'll speak evil of the truth, telling their lies. In verse 3, and through covetousness with feigned words make merchandise of you. So they're going to deny Christ. They're going to speak evil of the truth. And it's going to be because of covetousness, greed, money. And with feigned words, they'll make merchandise of you. I've told you this before, the word feign, if you look it up in Strong's, it's the Greek word plastos, which our word plastic comes from. Plastic is bendable and moldable. They'll take the truth and they'll bend it to make it sound good and sound like truth so they can deceive you because of covetousness. Amen. And make merchandise of you. All they're in it for is the money. One place says their God is their own belly. Yeah, right. They're trying to make it for themselves. Now, we've got plenty of this in our day and time. If you want to identify a false teacher, you follow the money. Yeah. And a lot of times you can follow the crowd. Because right. Jesus said there'll be a broad way and there'll be many going down that road. Oh, yeah. And there'll be a narrow way and there's few that'll find it. Amen. Now, it don't mean every big church is bad. But a lot of times, and we've seen in our day and time, they're growing by leaps and bounds because they don't key in on doctrine. Doctrine is not important, but it's drawing crowds, building a big congregation, making people feel good. Now, you know, I said follow the money. Follow the money. You look at Joel Osteen. You know, I saw him interview on Larry King, and he said he don't like to mention words like judgment or sin. He said he wouldn't put a cross on his building because he didn't want to offend people before they come in. Larry asked him, he said, I don't believe in Jesus. And by what you say, I'm going to hell. Is that true? He said, well, I can't say. He's a liar. Yeah. He's a false prophet. Yeah. Now, you look at what he's worth. He's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Oh, yeah. He drives fancy cars. Now, if a man makes money honestly, that's fine. But I don't know if a preacher's going to make hundreds of millions of dollars. You know, I think, and I didn't look this up, but you know, Billy Graham, when he died, he was probably worth, I've looked it up before, a couple of million dollars. But let me tell you, Billy Graham could have been worth hundreds of million dollars had he wanted to. Now, you might not agree on everything about him, and I don't either probably, but integrity he had. You know, he wouldn't go into a room in a hotel room until somebody searched it out first. And, you know, as many books and as worldwide as he traveled, it would be easily to accumulate what he did, even a whole lot more had he wanted to do that. I think he took a salary. But Joel Osteen is hundreds of millions of dollars, and he's a false teacher, to be honest with you. You look at Kenneth Copeland, hundreds of millions of dollars, wealthy man, because of the gospel. I mean, you know, how much does it take to live? You know, I could go off $50 million pretty good. And you can put the other $300 million into the ministry. You know, you look at Jesse Duplantis. I don't listen to him a lot. He's a jokester. And he lives in Mississippi, and he boasts about having the biggest house in Mississippi. Yeah, I got it. God gave it to me, all this stuff. Well, I tell you, it's funny that congregation don't have all he's got. You know, what he ought to do is take his hundreds of millions of dollars and split it among his congregation, make all of them millionaires. So that's what they say. If you'll sow the seed in our ministry, God's going to multiply your seed. Well, he's multiplying his seed pretty good. So you follow the money. And a lot of times you follow the crowd. And we're living in a day of false teachers and seducing spirits, drawing people to these with promises of, I remember a preacher said he was pastoring down around somewhere in Rottmar, somewhere down in Georgia. And Jim Baker, you know, was building that big deal water slide out there and wherever it was. And this lady come to him after he got caught. This lady come to him just crying. He said, well, I tried to get you to put your money in the local church. She said, well, I didn't know he was building a water slide. You know, put your money where you know it's being used, right? Anyway, seducing spirits, they'll lie. and they're trying to get gain monetarily or fame or whatever have you. Go back to 1 Timothy 4. So the Spirit warns us in the last days, some's going to leave the faith. They're going to listen to seducing spirits, and then they're going to believe the doctrines of devils. Verse 1, they'll depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Right. When you leave the truth, you'll start listening to the devil, and before long you're going to believe what he's saying. Amen. And that's what's going to have here. They'll heed, their mind will be held on these doctrines of devil. And doctrine, again, is instruction or teaching or learning. They'll start listening to these doctrines of devils. And he gives two examples here. He said in verse 3, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. He said they'll forbid to marry. In other words, try to, in some sense, destroy marriage. Now, I know Catholicism, their priests are not allowed to marry. I don't know why. There's nothing in the scriptures about that. Here he said, don't forbid to marry. And Peter's supposed to be the first pope. And Peter was married. Probably the only time he ever got offended at Jesus, he healed his mother-in-law. That's supposed to have been funny. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. He was a married man. So where did they, listen, when you look at what your, whatever you're in believes, everything ought to be compared to the scriptures. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is good for reproof and for doctrine and instructions in righteousness. And you know, and there's no pope in the Bible. There's no priest in the local church except for everybody that's born again. We're a kingdom of priests. The only officers in the Bible is a pastor and the deacons. And all you got to do is compare it to the Bible. And you can. And if it's not in here, then it's not true. Or it's subject to not being true. And he said here they'll forbid to marriage. And maybe in our day, marriages by the liberals that are following seducing spirits, they try to destroy marriage. Marriage is the foundation of every society. And they're trying to destroy marriage. Some of them talked about how oppressive it is for a woman to have to stay at home, bear children. That's just oppressive. God's got a plan. He has a plan for one man and one woman to marry for a lifetime and have children, raise children within that marriage. That's God's plan. And they're trying to destroy marriage. Of course, it's surprising how many people just shack up without being married now, even among the Christian community. And that's astounding. But destroying marriage, destroying the foundation of society, it's a redefining marriage is a big deal in our society. They don't mind you having a family as long as it ain't normal. You know, maybe two men or two women. It's destruction of the devil like to destroy. God created the family. He said you leave your father and mother and you cleave to your wife. I had one couple, it might have been one of our kids, I don't know. I had them. I didn't tell them I was going to do it. During the wedding, I got an apron. I got an apron for the bride and an apron for the groom, and I had the mothers to come up on stage. They didn't know that either. And you don't tell people when you want to, you know, because they say no. And so I had them come up, and I gave the mothers some scissors, and I held the apron strings out, and I said, cut them. You're letting them go. You leave, and you cleave. And so here... I think it was. Was that you, Phyllis? I did that to you? Okay. I wouldn't have done that just to anybody, but I did it to her. Of course, she ain't had any problem with that kind of stuff. But anyway, I mean, she lets them go, what I'm saying. But anyway, God created the marriage, and our society is doing everything it can to destroy it. If it can destroy the family, it can destroy our country. And then he said, forbidding meat, forbidding to abstain. He said, and a false doctrine would be to abstain from meats, not eating meat. Now, I know some people cannot. There's people, I think it's Lyme disease, you can't eat red meat. I know there's some people just choose not to. But he said here that some would, you know, Seventh-day Adventists, they want to go with the Old Testament laws, that you can only eat this, only eat that. You know, when Peter, he let that sheep down from heaven, he said, rise and eat. And Peter saw them unclean beasts in there. He said, no, sirree, I've never done that before. He said, what I've called clean, you don't call unclean. Right. And so he the law was finished at the cross. And it was for Jewish people, not Gentiles. And it says plainly here, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, who God created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. And every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Like one preacher said, if you can stomach it, eat it. He said that till he had a heart attack. He's a preacher. Y'all would know who he is, but I can't think of his name. He's dead now. But anyway, he said here, some will tell you not to eat meats. If God's created it, you thank God for it and you eat it.
That's right.
Right? Phyllis ate shrimp last night. That's not biblical in the Old Testament. You know, so anyway, some would teach to abstain from meats, try to control through diet. A lot of people, vegetarianism, and I may say this carefully, a lot of times is associated with cults and New Age. Now, I'm not saying it's all wrong to do that, if you choose to do that. I'm just saying you need to be careful about it. God changed man's diet when he come off the ark. Before the ark, he was vegetarian, basically. He ate herbs, and fruits and so forth. In chapter 9 of Genesis, in verse 3, and I'll just go read it to you, he changed the diet. He said, every moving thing that is living shall be meat for you, even as the green herb which I have given you all things. He said, I gave you the herbs before, now you can eat meat. Now, I don't say this myself, but if you read John Phillips, he's a conservative commentator. Before the flood, there was a demonic outbreak. And he thinks it has to do with that, that God changed our diet because of demonic warding off that. I don't know that. That's his opinion. But I'm just saying that a lot of the weird movements go vegetarian. I'm not saying that's wrong. If you're a vegetarian, that's your choice. But through diet, some will control. But anyway, he warns it about the false doctrine. God said you can eat meat. They saying you cannot eat meat. They're trying to destroy God's, that's the bottom line. Yeah. What God ordained, they're trying to destroy. Marriage, the diet, they're trying to control you through these things. I had a couple come up to my house one time when I lived up on Sand Mountain. I still live, but it's a different house. And they didn't know I was a pastor, but I looked, he had a book, and I saw on the book, he started talking about eating healthy. I knew he was a Seventh-day Adventist. And they still try to go by the law, and that's all been done. But anyway, the devil has doctrines, and they'll start trying to teach these false doctrines. And when you deny the truth, you'll start believing this stuff. And it said they'll be given to fables, which is myths. Another fable. Let me give you some myths of the doctrines of the devil. Evolution is a doctrine of the devil. It's a myth. It's never been proven. You can't prove something that's not true. It has never been proven. I remember when I went through school, they started pushing this stuff, and they talking about the missing link. They never found it. And all of a sudden, now over the years, they just quit talking about the theory of evolution and its evolution. They teach it as a fact, and it's nothing other than a myth. Now, why would the devil want to teach evolution? And we've raised a generation because it got in school when I was in school, and I'm 67. 60 years old, 60 years ago when I was in the first or second grade. Why would they want to teach evolution? Because evolution declares there's a God. Right. Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1 says this. It says in verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, for they are without excuse. He said just the creation of this world, this universe, tells us of God's greatness and of God's power. Psalm 19 says that it is a voice that goes throughout all the world, speaks all languages. They can look creation and know that there's a God. So if I'm Satan and I want to control people and teach them lies, I'm going to have to teach them evolution so they won't believe there's a God. If you believe in evolution, then we got here on our own. We don't need God. He didn't get us here, and we will not answer to God. So it's a myth. It's a doctrine of the devil. The things that have been pushed in our generation or this last number of years, of course, homosexuality. God in the beginning created a male and female. Now, if you follow Romans chapter 1, it goes on and plainly states that if people are going to deny God and worship the creature more than the Creator, then he's going to turn them over to do unnatural things. And he talks about homosexuality. It is unnatural. It is unseemly. It is wrong. And he talks about that very clearly.
I know people who are two women who are married that go to church and believe that they're right. There's no way. That's a doctrine of the devil. And any preacher that's going to teach you that is of a seducing spirit. And so that's something, and of course, in these days, transgender is a myth, of course. How can people, honest to God, get to believing that you can change your gender? They think we believe in myths because we believe in God? How in the world you opened yourself up to the devil to teach you that kind of stuff, and you're wanting to believe it, and you've rejected the truth? God in the beginning made them male and female. And that's just the way that it is. And they believe in an impossibility. Here's the problem. Psalm chapter 2. It's the whole thing is to get rid of God and get rid of truth and get rid of his natural laws. In chapter 2 of Psalms, he said in verse 1, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords." They're looking at God and saying, we're going to break your bands. That means your restraints, your cords, cast away their cords. That's chains and ropes. The natural laws of God that God put in place. They're looking at him and said, you will not tell us how to live. And they're rebelling against God. They're trying to get rid of God out of our society. And it went on to say in verse 4, that he that sitteth in the heavens just laughed. He's laughing at them. They're not going to be able to do this, but they're trying with all their heart. So we find that if you depart from the truth, you'll listen to the devils and you'll finally just start believing it. And then back to chapter 4 of Timothy, 1 Timothy, he then says in verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Seared with a hot iron. Their conscience will become seared. You know, the conscience, seared means to become insensitive or hardened. It's like branding. Right. Some people, I don't get it. They brand themselves. Oh, yeah. And that skin becomes insensitive. It's hard. Right. And he says here that some will have a seared conscience. They'll become insensitive to the Holy Spirit. Yeah. They won't listen to him anymore. Conscience is a moral guide. Now you got to be careful because it depends on how you're raised and what you're exposed to. But conscience is in us. You know, have you ever been convicted within yourself? Of course, the Holy Spirit will convict you. But you've been taught right and wrong. It's a moral conscience, and that becomes hardened. And Satan, over time, it becomes so hardened that they will not listen to God nor let him tell them what to do. And that's where our society and our country has reached. We are not listening to God. We'll do as we please. And when people become this, when people's conscience gets seared and hardened where God cannot speak to them nor will they listen to the Holy Spirit, then they're going to get militant in their actions. And you go back and read in Genesis 18 and 19 about Sodom and Gomorrah. God sent those two angels down there. God, the wickedness of Sodom came up before God, and we know what the sin of Sodom was. It was homosexuality. Now you can listen to what some religious people got together to discuss that. And some of them come up with the fact, well, it was not, they were not hospitable. We know what it was. And those two angels looked like men. And Lot took them into his house. And those men come that night beating on the door. We want those men, we want to know them. That, you know what it meant. We want to know them. I want to have relations with them. And Lot said, don't do so wickedly. And they said, you come down here to sojourn among us. Now you telling us how to live? We'll deal worse with you and we will with them. They was about to drag him out and abuse him. You don't tell them, crowd, no. They get militant about it. Now you look at the liberals of our day, and they're up in arms and are enraged. And what they're doing is encouraging anarchy. They're encouraging people to get out in the streets and protest and to rebel and everything else in the world. That's they're militant in their mind. Because their conscience is so seared, they will not listen to reason. They will not listen to God. Amen. And so this is a progress. And the progression is you abandon the truth. You start listening to liars. Then you believe their lies. And then you ignore the Holy Spirit. Now what's left? Well, people who go into the tribulation, they're going to be deceived by a strong delusion. They're going to believe every lie that comes out of the mouth of the Antichrist. And what's going to happen? They're going to be in hell forever with him and with the biggest liar that ever was, that ever existed, and that's Satan. That's the end of it all. So I say today, you need to be sure you're listening to the Holy Spirit. You need to be sure you know the doctrines of the Bible and you're sensitive to them and you follow them and reject all this. You young folks, you're living a hard time. I really feel for you. I really do. All this stuff, you know, us old folks, we know better than not. We've been raised different. And our society is just bombarding our young people with lies and this stuff. And you're going to have to know the truth and have to resist it. Resist it. But this morning, if you've not been saved, you need to be. You need to listen to the Holy Spirit. He's trying to tell you the truth about Christ, and we give you that opportunity. Let's stand together, Brother Bill. And I tell you, I see young people in my own family. I've seen them being seduced by these seducing spirits, and I've seen them fall away from the church and following that kind of stuff. And I'm sure it's happening in your family. Be sure you stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we pray you'd bless this morning in this time of invitation. Lord, maybe some have been tempted by some of these seducing spirits. I pray you give them strength. I pray for those that are not saved, you speak to their heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just as I